you hate government, one of them libertarian types, or maybe you just can't stand the president, gun grabbers, or warmongers. Me too. That's why I invented LibertyStickers.com. Well, Rick owns it now, and I didn't make up all of them, but still, if you're driving around and want to tell everyone else how wrong their politics are, there's only one place to go. LibertyStickers.com has got your bumper covered. Left, right, libertarian, empire, police state, founders quote, central banking. Yes, bumper stickers about central banking. Lots of them. And, well, everything that matters. LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck. Okay, guys, Scott Horton Show. I'm him. Check out my website at scotthorton.org. I got more than 4,000 interviews now going back to 2003 there. And sign up for the podcast feed as well, scotthorton.org. Follow me on Twitter at Scott Horton Show. Introducing Yakov Hirsch. He is a professional poker player and dog trainer. And he is now a regular over there at Philip Weiss's great blog, great website, Mondo Weiss. He's written a bunch of great ones of his own and a couple co-authored with Phil that I'd like to talk about. And so very happy to welcome Yakov to the show. How are you doing?
I'm good. Is it okay if I'm stoned or are you going to?
I'm
great. Yeah. Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, go right ahead. I'll tell you what. I like the way you write because it's full of ridicule for all the same people I hate too. And it's really funny. And it's right on point. So, you know, I really want people to check out your work here at MondoWeiss.net. Before I let you make fun of Jeffrey Goldberg, we got to cover what you're making fun of Jeffrey Goldberg about in part. And that is this, the so-called No Jews video released by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And you've got this great piece co-authored with Phil here. Netanyahu's ghost on the ethnic cleansing video is right-wing pollster Luntz. And this is a very important story and kind of a funny one, too. So please tell it to the people about, first of all, what's this video, and then explain about Luntz.
I think the best thing I should do to tell the people is what's going on in Israel, right? And how it relates to what's happening here. And we'll get to Jeffrey Goldberg in a second. But I'll tell you my story. My story is I'm a poker player, and I realized that things were happening in Israel that no one was talking about here. And the most important event for everyone to know is that in March 24th, this Israeli soldier executed a wounded Palestinian and was caught on video camera in Hebron, which is the epicenter of, you could say apartheid if you're on that side of the issue, but maybe I shouldn't talk about Hebron. But anyhow, so what happened was this is caught on video, and this has happened many times before, but you know, when you don't see it, it's just not a story. So it's caught on video, and now the government reacts. So the big story is that a few days after this is caught on video, the government on Sunday, in Israel on Sunday, they have a cabinet meeting, and everyone in the government defends the executioner. And it's like, we're going to make sure he gets a good defense. We're going to think, Netanyahu said, we have to look at the overall context of events. And which is an interesting thing. What does that mean? And everyone is going out of the way to defend this guy. And you would think that they would be doing the usual hasbara or propaganda, sort of explaining whatever, whatever. But they didn't do that. And that was a very big deal because they sort of said, it is okay. We have a militia. We don't have an army yet. We have a tribal militia. If you want to shoot a prone Palestinian, whatever he is, who's no threat to anyone, you're allowed to do it. Now, that seems to be big news.
And it's really, isn't it the case that really it's just the generals who are the voice for the rule of law here? He's their soldier, and they're saying, no, we're going to prosecute him because we have to have order within our armed forces.
Okay, so how did this happen? What happened is that for a long time now, Israel, under Netanyahu, their foreign policy is just bullshit. It's just propaganda. So it's like, imagine, it's like a debating club. That's the foreign policy. And they have these people like Jeffrey Goldberg going, blah, 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 making a lot of noise, exhausting everyone. And that's what happens. And the story gets through. And now this is the story. Now, so this is happening in Israel. And why I'm picking on Jeffrey Goldberg, because since that event, this is what happened. Okay. So everyone's defending, the government's defending this executioner. Ilora Zarya. The generals realize that they have to do something. So they want to make an example of this guy. They arrest him and they put him on trial to say, we have to, you know, we have to have law. You know, we have an army. You have a Western army. So they want to punish this guy and make a statement. You can't shoot Palestinians, whatever Netanyahu is telling you about Palestinians. So what happened was on an important Holocaust memorial speech, this general who is the deputy chief of staff. There's the defense minister. There's the chief of staff and the deputy chief of staff, like close to the top. And he gave a speech on the Holocaust Day saying that things that are going on in Israel now are reminiscent of what went on in the 1930s in Germany. And he mentioned specifically about the use of arms and a very important speech, that speech. Netanyahu reacted to that speech by going nuts. Like, you can't be saying stuff like this. Now, then defense minister Yalon defended the right of this general to say what he feels needs to be said about Israeli society, okay? Which, of course, is the opposite of what Netanyahu's message is, which is that, you know, it's Nazi Germany all over again every day of the week, no matter who the enemies are, right? So, and he's saying, no, I wrote this article, the difference between the meaning of the Holocaust between Netanyahu and Golan, because Netanyahu thinks he takes from the Holocaust is that everyone wants to kill the Jews. Whereas Golan takes the more universalist meaning of the Holocaust, which is basically that given certain circumstances, anyone could do stuff like this and you have to be careful. And this guy, Golan, is saying in Israeli society now, and why is that? It's because Netanyahu is doing what he's doing, you know, which we'll get into. We have a situation that is reminiscent of, you know, of the way Germans looked at Jews. The way Israelis are looking at Palestinians right now is reminiscent of the way Germans looked at Jews. Now, obviously, that's a not uncontroversial thing to say in Israel. Anyway, Yalon lost his job. He replaced, this is what happened. Yalon defended the right of this general to give that speech. Netanyahu canned Yalon, or he quit. And he, as soon as he quit, he then basically repeated Golan's speech, you know, about what's happening in Israel, about fascism. Netanyahu replaced him with the Matt Lieberman, who he was at, you know, he was in the opposition during the trial, with the trial still going on, but he visited the murdering medic, as I like to call him, in court to show his support. And now he is the defense minister. In other words, he's now in charge of the people who are trying to keep basically Israel a Western country. And he has already said, yo, we're going to defend this guy no matter what, you know, whatever the result of the trial is, it doesn't matter. Even if he's found guilty, we're with him. Now, this story no one knows about. Why doesn't anyone know about? Because people like Jeffrey Goldberg always, what are they saying about Israel? They're only giving you the good news. They're not, Jeffrey Goldberg is not a journalist, right? He's an activist. And how do you know he's an activist? Because all these things that I'm telling you, this happened in March, and Jeffrey Goldberg, the biggest expert, he used to torment Andrew Sullivan, because Andrew Sullivan said that exactly what's going on now is what Andrew Sullivan said in his blog. But at that point, Jeffrey Goldberg, you know, throwing around his anti-Semitism card, you know, tormented Andrew Sullivan. Well, guess what? Andrew Sullivan is right, and Jeffrey Goldberg can't say a word about what's going on in Israel because there is no spin. So that's what's going on. So right now, now let's get to today. So meanwhile, Netanyahu, since his foreign policy, his domestic policy, is just propaganda against, you know, the Palestinians. It's just saying whatever he wants. And of course, there is with Netanyahu for a whole bunch of reasons. He is a man who gets away with everything. There's no one in the world that could do what he does and not have consequences, and there not be any consequences. So he just basically does what he wants. And what happened in the Washington Post is, which is what I wrote in June, is that these people, the serious people in Israel, like Barak and Yalon, the guy who was fired, they know Netanyahu got to go, okay? Because this is a little, you know, it's like I write, he was a furniture salesman, Netanyahu, And now he's prime minister of Israel because basically Israel has recruited Jews for just, I mean, let me be very specific. They haven't recruited, okay? So let me put it this way. For whatever reason, people feel they have to defend Israel, right? And that has led to them them defending Israel in the best way they know how. And that is to throw around this anti-Semitism stuff. And the result is that right now you have Israeli society thinking that the people they are occupied are motivated by Jew hatred. And that's Netanyahu's game. And that's why he did this thing. He tried to say that the Mufti of Jerusalem in the 30s convinced him, whispered into Hitler's ear to burn the Jews. Now, Netanyahu said that. He knows that's not true. But that's his thing. He doesn't need the Germans committing the Holocaust now. It's the Palestinians who committed the Holocaust. And as long as he keeps that up, he's going to be prime minister of Israel for life. And people realize this. And that's why Barak, after this deal, this big, whatever you want to call it, that America does for Israel, a big celebration, Barak says, no, we're not giving Netanyahu anything. Netanyahu is the devil. We have to get this guy out. You know, no matter what, they have to remove Netanyahu. This is what they feel, because they know what I'm telling you. They know that Netanyahu has poisoned Israeli society, right, for his personal needs. And that's what the whole Iran debate was. All security people in Israel saying, okay, at first they didn't realize what he was up to, right? And then they realized it's just his whole personal fight with Obama that this is all about. Even after he knew he couldn't win the debate, he kept on going. He went to Jews. This man is so worried about anti-Semitism, he goes to American Jews and he says, yo, this, you know, you didn't save the Jews during the Holocaust, and now Iran's about to, whatever he said, about to nuke America, about to kill all the Jews, and what are you doing? You're not doing anything. And it's all bullshit. And as I'm right, the ex-head of Mossad, when Ephraim Halevi was on Al Jazeera, went to Al Jazeera to say this. You know, he said that Iran couldn't threaten Israel's existence in the next 1,000 years. That's the reality, right? And everyone knows the reality. But what happened when James Fallows tried to speak about this reality and say, yo, we can't trust this guy Netanyahu. He's, you know, what happens when someone does that in America? Well, say hello to Mr. Kirchick. And what does Mr. Kirchick write about James Fallows, who's just trying to be a good American and be a responsible journalist and say what he sees? Well, this is what James Kirchick says. Not so. First, he has to go and ask all his friends, do we have any anti-Semitism on Fallows? Well, there isn't anything on Fallows. What to do when you can't call Fallows an anti-Semite and he's saying, you know, what Netanyahu is up to? Well, let me tell you what Jewish culture has become. I am about to tell you the end of Jewish culture. This is the end of Jewish culture. This is what Fallows wrote this is what Kirchick wrote when Fallows tried to be and as you will find out now, Fallows was right about everything, as all these people are. They're always right, right? And these things are never an argument about reality, right? So that's what's happening in the world. But let me get to Kirchick. So since he could not frame Fallows for anti-Semitism, look what these people do. The whole article is ridiculous that he's calling him an anti-Semite, but I just want to show you what framing someone for anti-Semitism means. So Fallows was describing why as a Chinese expert, he was writing about the Iran, why he was so interested, right? So in one of his articles, that's what he wrote. This is what Kirchick does with Fallows explaining, his interest, right? He's explaining his interest in why he's so into the Iran deal, why he's backing the Iran deal. So Kirchick, in this piece, it's in Tablet magazine, he says, by means of explaining his intense interest, this is what Kirchick said Fallows was doing, describing his interest, by means of explaining his intense interest. What does that mean when Kirchick says, when he's saying that this is what Fallows is saying, right? You understand, he's saying Fallows is explaining why I am an anti-Semite. Why am I so interested? By means of explaining his intense interest. So that's where we're at. Do you understand was this coherent? By means of explaining his intense interest?
Yeah, I get it. Commissar Goldberg has his little copycat sock puppet, yes. Kirchick, yes. Who's, trying desperately to pick up where the master left off. And by the way, You know, somebody should stop and mention for a second that Jeffrey Goldberg lied us into war with a bunch of articles about Saddam's relationship with Osama bin Laden for the New Yorker back in 2002 and helped, you know, solidify that liberal Democrat Joe Biden-esque support for that adventure.
Yes. Why is Jeffrey Goldberg quiet? Because Jeffrey Goldberg is responsible for the murdering medic. He should be in the dock with the murdering medic. And that's why he's so quiet about this. Because he has done more than anyone to take this anti-Semitism thing and put it at BDS, put it at anybody who's against, like, this is how crazy it's become. Like, a Palestinian can't have their own story. They can't be like, they're minding their own business, and Israel have a fine Zionist story, and they might even be right, and they might even be the chosen people, and God might have even given them this land. But these Palestinians don't know any of that. And they are, you know, and they've been treated a certain way. And to go and put these, and this is what Jeffrey Goldberg does, which I will be writing about, and he knows I'm going to be writing about, is that he is responsible for making this, to making Muslims into Jew haters. Anyone that criticizes, this is his career. This is what he did. His whole career is to take, anytime a Muslim, a Palestinian says Israel, is to turn it into Jew. That's it. That is Jeffrey Goldberg's career. That's what he does. That's what everything is about. You say something about Israel, equals saying something about Jew. Now, very good job. You're a great propagandist. Now look at Israel and look what you've done. Because the whole country, you've convinced the whole country. And now we have a little problem. And that's what these people know. These generals know about it. And they're like, what do we do now? The whole country believes. You know what the stats are? 65% of the country believes that it was good, or I forgot the exact question, that the murdering medic executed the guy. Think about this. They say 65% are approve, and of course don't think he should be in jail, he should be a hero, for shooting a guy who's no threat to anyone, for executing a guy. How could that be? Ask Jeffrey Goldberg why that number, that 65%. It's because of Jeffrey Goldberg. Because Jeffrey Goldberg and Netanyahu and Brett Stevens and Kirchick and all these guys have convinced, and Netanyahu is, of course, the greatest furniture salesman, and that's what, you know, has convinced the Israeli people that the Palestinian resistance is based, they're Nazis. They're ISIS-Nazis combination. And now, and this is what I've been writing about, and this is why I stopped playing poker, because I realized Netanyahu is not cashing in. They've crushed the Palestinians. They have whatever they want. This is the time to strike the best deal you want with the two-state solution and go on and live happily ever after. Netanyahu is not doing that. He's continuing his propaganda war with the Palestinians. He's defeated. They are defeated. What is your war about, these videos? You know, he started with these videos a couple of months ago. They're toxic. They're poison. He's poisoning his people. Why is he continuing to poison the people? If ultimately you have to live with these people, you've won already. Stop poisoning them. Of course there's going to be some violence on their part. But every violence, every act of violence on their part, it's Nazis. That is the interpretation with Goldberg's help. Mm-hmm. And what happens when they try to be Gandhi, when they try BDS? No violence, right? They're going to try to say, yo, one man, one vote. How, something wrong with that? What do they turn into that? Look at the ADL. BDS equals ancient Jewish hatred, ancient blood libels, all this nonsense. What does that have to do with some Palestinian? What do you want them to do? What should the Palestinians do? That's okay. Nothing is okay. So this is the situation in Israel now. Congratulations, Goldberg and Netanyahu and Brett Stevens. Let's have a social science experiment of Israeli society, and let's see what happens, because they all believe that the Palestinians are little Nazis. Okay? Let's see what happens.
Well, and this gets back to, you know, you mentioned the videos there, the video in question here that Netanyahu put out. And this is and Frank Luntz. And, you know, I think it's worth mentioning that this stuff really works, this propaganda line. And I mean works on Americans, too, not just Israeli Jews. Not necessarily that, there's a Holocaust that's going to happen any day now. But what Americans think, it's just like, and people really ought to watch the Occupation movie. It's only $5 on iTunes. It's really good. It has, you know, all your PC characters in it. It's nothing too controversial. But they just explain the way, just because of the terminology used, you would think the average American know nothing, is under the impression that Palestine is already a state. It's the country next door to Israel, and they constantly send terrorist attackers to attack Israel because they're trying to extort land from Israel. And geez, how much land are the Israelis supposed to give up to these terrorists anyway? Land for peace? Doesn't that sound like negotiating with terrorists to you? Why would you do that? And so the whole frame of the thing is that it's all Palestinian aggression. And never do they say, oh, actually, the Palestinians were conquered back in 1967, and they live under not even martial law, but under war law, occupation by a foreign army with a sock puppet government that rules over them. That part of it is just completely left out. They have to turn the truth entirely upside down, and it does work. And that is exactly what Americans think is the situation, until someone finally explains to them, like, no, look at this map. This is the West Bank, okay? Here's who rules it, and here's who doesn't. And once it's clear, then people are shocked, and they go, oh, wow. You know, but overall, the Frank Luntz messaging is, it's pretty damn effective. I think that, you know, going back to the original propagandists, they would be proud of you know, the Frank Luntzes of the world, of figuring out how to get people to think that the Palestinians are Arab supremacists who just won't give the Israeli Jews equal civil rights, you know? Hey, I'm Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new book by Michael Swanson, The War State. In The War State, Swanson examines how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy both expanded and fought to limit the rise of the new national security state after World War II. This nation is ever to live up to its creed of liberty and prosperity for everyone. We are going to have to abolish the empire. Know your enemy. Get The War State by Michael Swanson. It's available at your local bookstore or at Amazon.com in Kindle or in paperback. Just click the book in the right margin at scotthorton.org or thewarstate.com.
Yes, clearly. I mean, not every American could be a Middle East scholar. And if you have a guy speaking of English and he seems to be totally normal and he speaks your language and he says, you know, and he says reasonable things, you have no reason to believe that it's particularly controversial. You know, Jeffrey Goldberg and his friends are the worst anti-Zionists in the world because they had a decision. They could be like normal people and present Israel as a normal country, which means we could talk about these issues, which means that Andrew Sullivan could say whatever he wants, and even if he hurts Jeffrey Goldberg's feelings, Jeffrey Goldberg is not going to put him on trial for being an anti-Semite, right? Or Jeffrey Goldberg could be a child and be afraid to talk about these things and hide behind anti-Semitism and point to everything he doesn't want to talk about and call anti-Semitism. Yeah, so you're going to get away with convincing the American people until you don't, right? Until you can't talk, until Jeffrey Goldberg, this happened in March, the biggest expert on Israel, on America, on American Jewish relations, on everything, has not said one word as Israel is being turned upside down. I mean, read Haaretz. I mean, of course, it's not in the New York Times either, but read Haaretz and you read what's happening. And just think about that. Ehud Barak went to the Washington Post, the best news for Israel in who knows when. They just got this big deal with America. Everything's great. Israel loves America. America loves Israel. Big hug. What happened? He burst the bubble. He said, forget about this. Netanyahu is evil. There's no celebration. He's, you know, it's the end of the country. We have to stop him, which is what I said in June in that article I sent you. They have to stop Netanyahu because they know they want to cash in. These guys say, let's get this two-state solution. Whatever deal we can make, let's just do it, because this will not end well. You know, Barak and all these people whose business it is the security of the state of Israel know what's going on there is not going to end well. And Netanyahu doesn't care about it. He just hears, he's so excited by his propaganda videos. Like in the article in the Arts, let's say he's obsessed with how many likes he gets on his videos. Okay? This is the prime minister of the country, right? He's doing you understand these videos, there's no videos like he does against the Palestinians in the world. Every video is worse than the next. He says, in one of these videos, he says he cares about the Palestinian people more than their leaders. That was one of his great videos. The other now we know about the blood libel. The other video is this guy, you know, which I wrote an article about. I mean, this is what it means.
Let me ask you this. Ehud Barak, now, for people not too familiar, this is the former prime minister and former defense minister in a coalition government with Netanyahu. And he actually has also used the word fascism to describe the current situation, or at least the very near future there. And yet, he's Ehud Barak. I wonder whether you think he really thinks this is an emergency, or he just wants to be the prime minister again. Because he never seemed to me much better than Netanyahu in terms of self-interest.
Yes, because this is not so. You see, there's so many layers over here. Because the big problem for Israel is not actually Netanyahu; it's these people on the right, you know, who basically believe that the Palestinians are Nazis, or they believe that God gave them the land. Netanyahu, they don't even know. Like these guys, every guy who used to be close to Netanyahu, after he was fired or he left, he says Netanyahu is the most dangerous guy. Every defense minister he had, every Mossad chief he had, every single guy, as soon as they leave, they say this guy is bad news. He's not interested in the interests of the state of the country. So Netanyahu has to go because he has psychological problems and he has a lot of issues, right? So now Barak is concerned about that right now, okay? That Netanyahu has to go. But of course, you know, Netanyahu, he just is going to win every election because he's cornered the market on this toxic hatred of the other, which he keeps on, you know, he keeps on giving it to the people. He says, okay, no one could compete with him in that, right? That's why there's no left wing in Israel, because the world has given Israel the permission to say whatever they want about Palestinians, no matter what they do. So they're occupying the people, the Palestinians. And the whole country feels like they're victims. And every time there's violence, they're like, okay, they're going after the Jews again. How could anybody defeat the guy if someone says, yeah, let's talk to the Palestinians. Talk to the Palestinians. You want to talk to the Nazis too, right? So that's the story. They have to get rid of this guy, Netanyahu. So Barak, that's his mission now. Whatever it takes. The problem is there's no election until 2019. So they have to hope that he's probably corrupt, Netanyahu, but it's, you know, the best case scenario for the country is he gets thrown in jail and then let Barak and Yalom fight with the, you know, with the crazies and hope it works out and they make peace, you know. But look at Goldberg. If he couldn't find anything to say since March until now about Israel, you could just imagine how bad the situation is.
Well, and now I have to admit to you, Yakov, that I don't read Jeffrey Goldberg. Well, I'm blocked on Twitter, and I don't keep an eye on his column. But it seems to me, I mean, I know I've read in the past where he says, no, hey, I'm totally reasonable, and I'm for a two-state solution because, yeah, it's true. Otherwise, Ehud Barak is right that we face a future of apartheid, and that is no stable situation for Israel to last into the indefinite future. You know, you got to be an idiot to be a pro-Israel Zionist and not want to give up the West Bank at this point. And so he's, correct me if I'm wrong, because I could be, but I think he takes that very acceptable liberal Democrat centrist position. So why not say that, see, this is proof I'm right, instead of just ignoring it all?
That's why he's so much more pernicious than anyone else. Because if you look at Jeffrey Goldberg, I hope some PhD student goes over all his tweets and articles and shows what he's up to. As far as everything is propaganda. So, yeah, his propaganda is, look, people think I'm a liberal. Look, people think I'm a conservative. I'm right in the middle. That's him. That's his story. So and he's very proud to show the crazies on the right that call him a self-hating Jew. Oh, these people are calling me a self-hating Jew. It must be I'm just a normal middle-of-the-road person. Oh, these. So he keeps up. That's what he tries to do. But it's all nonsense, okay, as I will show. He has poisoned the Palestinians. Now he wants to say, oh, yeah, of course I'm for a two-state solution. Well, sorry, Jeffrey. We should have spoken about a two-state solution 20 years ago. Now that you've poisoned the Palestinians and the Muslims in everyone's mind, there ain't no two-state solution on the table anymore because nobody wants it in Israel anymore. We're not going to – these guys are going to – they want – as Brett Stevens says, they want the Palestinian – he wrote this article called the psychotic stage. That's Brett Stevens. The psychotic stage. And what's happening now, you have to call evil, you know, we should not be afraid to call evil evil because the Palestinians are trying to stab every Jew in Israel one by one to death. Okay? Now, it's hard to say, okay, after you say that and convince Israel of that, then say, okay, it's time for us. We've made peace. Now let's live together, right? You can't do that. That's the situation right now. And Jeffrey Goldberg, whatever he wants to convince everybody else, is responsible. He is the most pernicious and toxic of all the propagandists.
Well, you know, the real reason for that is because he's got the rest of the American national security reporter corps, you know, and not just national security, but just, you know, any kind of international relations, or I guess particularly liberal Jewish writers on whatever issues who may want to comment on Israel. He's just made the entire topic, you know, scary. Where, who wants to cross this guy? He's, you know, he's been known as Commissar Goldberg, where he attacks people you never even heard of before.
He is the most anti-intellectual Jew in history. Jeffrey Goldberg thinks himself an intellectual, is the antithesis of an intellectual. He could not debate a child on any issue that he claims himself an expert on. And that's the thing. That's
but people are afraid of him, aren't they? Do you think that's really right,
yes,
that reporters are afraid to just get near that because of him and people like him?
If he gets on your case, you have to quit your job, you have to divorce your wife, you have to sell your stuff, and you have to close, you know, lock up the house, because that's what you're going to be doing for a year. Okay, so you have a choice. You could say something to Jeffrey Goldberg, ask Walton Mearsheimer, right? The rest of Jeffrey Goldberg's life, any chance he could get to mention Walton Mearsheimer, he's going to mention Walton Mearsheimer.
Wait, now slow down, because not everybody is experienced in all this stuff. Tell that story, because that's a very important example, I think.
Yes, it is a very important example. Two academics, and I promise you, not anti-Semitic, not an anti-Semitic bone in their body, wrote a book called The Jewish Lobby. And like everybody knows, the Israel Lobby.
You're going to get him in worse trouble now.
Oh my God. You're very important. The Israel Lobby. They would not write The Jewish Lobby. And that's not what the book was about. They're very careful scholars. And they basically wrote a book that if it would be about any other subject, would just be an academic book, would get reviewed in the New York Times, and there would be pros and cons. Might not be the best book in the world, might not be the worst book in the world. People would have their say. That's not what happened with that book. That book, a fatwa was put on that book, right? A fatwa is, there's no fatwa in Judaism, but if you remember that Salman Rushdie wrote a book, The Satanic Verses, and the Ayatollah put a fatwa on the book, which means, which he had to go into hiding, the Ayatollah, and people try to kill him. A fatwa means it is a Muslim edict to kill the author of the book. So they put that's what Goldberg did with this book. And of course, the debate about that book is absurd. I mean, it is so absurd because the debate isn't about issues. It's not about, the debate is that Jeffrey Goldberg is like, oh my God, you cannot say that. You can't say Jews and power and influence, oh my, Jews controlling the country. Oh my God. So that's what happened. So they buried these guys, just buried them, like a lot of other people before them and since. You just get buried with attacks and you can't even begin to defend yourself. But it doesn't matter. You can't defend yourself. There is no defense. You just have to ignore it, because it's not really about any issues. Jeffrey Goldberg couldn't debate a 10-year-old about the Israel Lobby, but he could call a lot of names. Oh, is Walt similar to Lindbergh or Hitler or 19th century anti-Semitism? Go on and on and on and on, except debate the book. Right?
Except if you ask me, hey man, where should I start reading about the Israel Lobby? Well, Amazon.com, even with Prime, is going to take, you know, a few hours or whatever. But I can direct you straight to an article by Jeffrey Goldberg in The New Yorker, where Rosen, the later spy, you know, busted, indicted, but not prosecuted ultimately, in the Larry Franklin case, told Jeffrey Goldberg that the power of the lobby, it's like a night flower. It, you know, withers in the sunlight, but thrives in the dark. And, you know, you see this, bar napkin, this cocktail napkin right here. In 24 hours, I could have the signatures of 77 senators on this napkin. Meaning, in other words, he could get any law passed in America he wants with a super veto proof majority, no matter what it is, even if it's just a blank page.
AIPAC is the lobby, but Jeffrey Goldberg is really the lobby. Okay? Think about it. Jeffrey Goldberg, the lobby, made, you know, attacked Walt and Mearsheimer, made them crazy. And Walt and Mearsheimer know that Jeffrey Goldberg is the lobby, and his behavior proves their point. They cannot write a book without their lives ending, right? That is the point. Jeffrey Goldberg is the lobby, but the lobby is so powerful that Walt and Mearsheimer can't even say, Jeffrey Goldberg, you are the lobby, don't you see? Because if he did that, then he'd be really an anti-Semite. So that's the story. Jeffrey Goldberg is the lobby. That's that. Look, you know, AIPAC is the perfect example. This is a beautiful example, because before AIPAC, Jeffrey Goldberg doing his Jewish thing, saying, oh, AIPAC is going to, the Jews are really going to show everybody how to treat Trump. That's what, and in my article on Jeffrey Goldberg, when I started to write, I wrote this article about Jeffrey Goldberg, and I saw him do this on AIPAC during, let me start at the beginning. Before AIPAC, Jeffrey Goldberg was saying that the Jews or the rabbis, they would make a statement about prejudice. Like, Jews are experts at prejudice, so when Trump came to speak to AIPAC, there would be demonstrations, there would be walkouts. So this is what he prepared his audience for this to happen at AIPAC, right? That did not happen at AIPAC, right? So now Jeffrey Goldberg is watching in real life time. Usually he has time to bullshit with articles. In real life time, he predicted that there would be, you know, people would not be the AIPAC crowd would not welcome Trump. You know, they would boo Trump. That's what he predicted. Or there would be some dissonance or something. That's not what happened. Raucous celebration. Now, do you know the tweets Jeffrey Goldberg's tweets during that AIPAC, during the Trump AIPAC speech says it all? Because that just shows he is not a journalist. Because he said, those who are surprised that a pro-Israeli audience like Trump's speech should stop being surprised. I mean, it's not perfect, but that was the idea. So he realized that there are people who are watching all this, you know, the applause, and they're like, people didn't understand. Why are all these Jews, all these AIPAC, why are they all applauding Trump? So this was confusion. So Jeffrey Goldberg, he had to get control of the situation. No, let me explain to you. But he couldn't explain why these people are clapping for Trump. So he just says, trust me. Just stop being surprised. Oh, he said, should stop being surprised. Those who are surprised that a pro-Israeli audience, is applauding Trump should stop being surprised. So basically he's saying Jews are different. Jews are allowed. If they're applauding Trump, don't even ask why. Trust me, Jews are allowed to applaud Trump, even though people, anyone else in the country, that's a Nazi rally. But when Jews applaud Trump, Don't even, just stop wondering. You know, stop being surprised. That's the level where we're at. He tells his readers to stop being surprised. I mean, this is Orwellian. Stop being surprised. I know you're surprised that they're all applauding Trump. Stop it. And why should you stop it? Trust me. Just stop being surprised. That is Jeffrey Goldberg, okay? Now, you want to call him a journalist? You can call him a journalist. That's not a journalist. And as I wrote, what did Peter Baynard, who most Americans wouldn't know the difference between a Jeffrey Goldberg and a Peter Baynard, they're both for the two-state solution. And what's the difference? That's Jeffrey Goldberg's game. No, very big difference between Jeffrey Goldberg and Peter Baynard. What did Peter Baynard do when he doesn't like Trump? Just as much as Goldberg doesn't like Trump. What did he do? He went to Haaretz the next day and he said, Donald Trump, AIPAC does not speak for me. He says, I am an American Jew, and AIPAC does not speak to me, right? And that's what Americans have to know. They have to know the difference between Peter Baynard and Jeffrey Goldberg. They have to know the difference between J.J. Goldberg and Jeffrey Goldberg. And this is why Jeffrey Goldberg is poison. Because when anyone talks to him the wrong way, he says, oh, no, they're not talking to J.J. Goldberg. They're not talking to Peter Baynard. They're talking to Jeffrey Goldberg. But Jeffrey Goldberg puts this talus around himself. Jew, 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 Jew. You cannot look at him the wrong way and says, oh, you're looking at me because I'm a Jew? Why, you don't like Jews? You don't? No. We don't like you, Jeffrey Goldberg. We love J.J. Goldberg. We love all the Jews. We don't like you, Jeffrey Goldberg. So that's why he causes anti-Semitism. Because anyone else who saw that Twitter come, that tweet, what do you mean? I can't, you know, that he's just, he is a activist. That's what he is. He is a Jewish pro-Israeli activist, and that's fine. Let him get a job at the Jewish Press in Brooklyn, and good luck to him. But don't fool everyone that you represent anything other than Jeffrey Goldberg trying to get into the Clinton White House, because that's all he represents right now. And I am going to point out that as often as I can, because he is poisoning the world, basically.
I want to just give you a chance real quick to refer to people, because you and Phil Weiss have a great article here about Luntz and this thing that he did in 2009. And I was just wondering if real quick you could give the background to this Global Language Dictionary and this whole thing. And, you know, people can go and read the article, but I really like the, it's just the blatantness. Is that a word? The amount of blatancy, it's just breathtaking and fun. So please explain,
imagine you're trying to sell a really bad car, okay? Toyota produces the worst car in history by accident. And now it's like, uh-oh, we've invested $20 trillion in this car. What do we do? This is the document to sell the car, okay? That's what this document that Luntz put together is. What, settlements? You want to know the best arguments of settlements that'll convince America? Say this. Tell Americans that it's like Mexico shooting rockets into America. That's why we're bombing Gaza. So it's basically a propaganda document to just say in nice English exactly the best arguments for everything that comes at you. The relationship to truth is accidental. Maybe there are the good arguments, maybe they're not, but this is not about truth. This is about to come up with the best argument that will convince the most of people. That's all it's about. It is pure propaganda, and he is a propagandist, and that's why Luntz is what he is. Well, now he and Netanyahu, it's unclear who did most of the work here, probably, because as he says in the article, he's using some of Netanyahu's stuff because it's so good. So that's what's happening. They're selling a very bad car. Israel right now is a very bad car that they accidentally have to deal with, and they need to sell this car. Mm. How is the story going to end? I don't know, because at some point, things in Israel are taking their course. And that's why, as I say again and again, Goldberg cannot spin what's going on in Israel. He can just ignore it. And that's what he's doing. And that's why America doesn't know anything. Americans don't know what's going on in Israel, because it's all bad news.
Yeah, they're just blacking.
Sooner or later, it's going to make the headlines.
Yeah. All right, now, so, again, it's called the Global Language Dictionary, and anybody can read the whole PDF file online. It's not too long, and it really is a hoot. I mean, it's fun to read, in a way, just because it's so outrageous. And, audience, you guys might have heard me mention before the part, this is the same document we're talking about, when I mentioned about how the focus group results said that I don't know if it's the government in Jerusalem or exactly which government it was, is invoking zoning as a reason why it was okay to demolish these Palestinians' houses because they were in violation of the zoning code. And Luntz and the focus group determined that Americans hate zoning laws. And whatever you do, you guys got to stop invoking zoning, especially when you're demolishing a 90-year-old house and, you know, because it passes your 5-year-old zoning code that you just invented, and this kind of thing, and just basically stealing the property. But whatever you do, don't call it zoning. Call it defense from Arab racism or whatever you have to, but don't call it zoning. And I just thought that was funny because of, you know, what they thought originally, their hypothesis was that that would be a great spin, that, well, these people are in violation of the zoning code, you know. But it turned out that, we learned very quickly that you have to straighten that out. So anyway, that's to me, other than why won't the Palestinians just let the Jews live wherever they want in the West Bank? It's not fair. That's the second funniest bit in the whole thing, I think.
Yes.
Lots of fun. All right. Anyway, so again, the Global Language Dictionary. And you guys can read this funny article, this great article by Phil Weiss and Yaakov Hirsch. It's at MondoWeiss.net. Netanyahu's ghost on ethnic cleansing video is right-wing pollster Luntz. And listen, I want to also mention Jeffrey Goldberg will be silent till he finds a way to spin all the bad news for the Jews, news from Israel. And that is Yaakov Hirsch, again, at MondoWeiss.net, the great blog, MondoWeiss.net. Thanks again very much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
All right, y'all, Scott Horton Show. Check out scotthorton.org for the archive. Sign up for the podcast feed there. help support at scotthorton.org/donate and follow me on Twitter at Scott Horton Show. Hey, all Scott here. On average, how much do you think these interviews are worth to you? Of course, I've never charged for my archives in a dozen years of doing this, and I'm not about to start. But at patreon.com/Scott Horton Show, you can name your own price to help support and make sure there's still new interviews to give away. So what do you think? 2 bits? A buck and a half? There are usually about 80 interviews per month, I guess, so take that into account. You can also cap the amount you'd be willing to spend in case things get out of hand around here. That's patreon.com/Scott Horton Show. And thanks, y'all. Hey, I'll check out the audiobook of Lou Rockwell's Fascism vs. Capitalism, narrated by me, Scott Horton, at audible.com. It's a great collection of his essays and speeches on the important tradition of liberty. From medieval history to the Ron Paul Revolution, Rockwell blasts our status enemies, profiles our greatest libertarian heroes, and prescribes the path forward in the battle against Leviathan. Fascism vs. Capitalism by Lou Rockwell for audiobook. Find it at Audible, Amazon, iTunes, or just click in the right margin of my website at scotthorton.org.